Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead talk through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead talk through, episode 58. Still standing review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
Kyle's back.
Yay!
And how are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling much better. And thank you guys for taking the torch and going on without me.
Well, it would have been nice to have you here, but the war does move on. The battles, the battle versus Fear the Walking Dead must continue. All right, so we are here to discuss Season 5, Episode 7, Still Standing. But before we get started with that, a little bit about last episode, Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince. Simon, Rick, what do you think?
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Well, before we get to some feedback from Aaron, Kyle, since you weren't here, what'd you think of last week's episode?
If I'm going to give a rating for it, I gave it a 7 because I listened to everybody's feedback and their comments and all this stuff. And I kind of felt a little bit of the same that I feel like that there was, I don't know, the whole beginning of it just felt so cheesy. And it was just like, there was a lot about it that I felt a little too optimistic and too, I don't know. I kind of didn't really like it. So.
Well, it seemed like Mark and I were on an island last week because apparently the episode on Rotten Tomatoes got a 36%. And listening to several other podcasts, they didn't like it either. And going back and rewatching, I think I might have been a little generous, but I still did like the episode more than it seemed like most people. I think it was positive. I think I needed some positivity in my life.
Yeah. Need that levity.
Yeah. And I agree, because when I did do my second rewatch, I got a little bit more out of it. But I think at the beginning when I saw it, it was just the whole feel of it all. There was just the swell of the music, and it was just what the characters were saying, like their lines, that when I first saw it, I was kind of like, this is just a little bit too optimistic.
So. Okay. Well, oh well.
Yeah.
Mark and I stand alone. Anyway, let's get on to feedback from Aaron last week.
Aaron from the internet, well, she says, this week, Fear the Walking Dead ratings sunk to a new low. Just merged the shows already, I say. It can't hurt things. I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I can't say if it's the writing on a whole people are over, or if zombies have just gone cold, or audience attention grabbers. But I feel a merger is only their card left to really play with this franchise.
Well, I feel like it's a combination of things. I think it's an oversaturation, some difficult storylines on the main show that turn off some viewers. I think, you know, especially when Glenn and Abraham, you know, met their unfortunate ends, and, you know, later Carl, I think that turned off a lot of people, and I think that was part of it. I think oversaturation. I think that, you know, adding more zombie stuff is only going to erode the audience. So when they do these films and that, I really hope that they're not going to try to, and for that matter, this new series, I hope that they're not going to try to run Walking Dead season, you know, year round, because we're going to end up, you know, with the main show getting 1 million viewers each week. And I can't see how that's sustainable given the, you know, the budgets and all that stuff, especially when Norman Reedus is, you know, earning what most people would use to buy a really, really nice house in a single episode. mansion. I think that, you know, that only can go so far. So, yeah. And I mean, lapses in writing, lapses in, you know, the production, AKA the deer. One cannot forget the deer. I think all of that, you know, has been working to erode the audience, and we'll get it more into ratings this week. But unfortunately, I don't have good news when it comes to ratings for the last two episodes, actually, since we didn't have the ratings last week. But it's just overall as well, viewership on TV has changed. You know, a lot of it has moved to, you know, live plus 3 day, live plus 7 day. I think, you know, there's changes as far as, you know, people watching it on demand. I don't think that the AMC premiere stuff is getting fully counted. So, like in the case of Mark and I, us watching the show early, I don't know how those are getting counted as far as the ratings. They may be getting counted as part of live plus 3 or something, but not the same day stuff. So I don't know, but somebody who knows Nielsen better than I can might know better.
Here's a question about your ratings section of the blog post. Does it factor in the early viewings on AMC or not? I wonder how many are skipping the live viewing in favor of just watching early or later online because their love of the series has dipped so that rush to see the new episode isn't as great anymore. If they do watch online early, it's of course going to lower the live viewings. I feel as not each week is worth a repeat viewing.
Well, I know Nielsen is mentioned on the AMC app, but I'm not sure how those numbers are being counted, if at all. I think they are, but I don't know for sure.
I just think that some, like, the way the ratings seem to be going, and from, you know, you do a very, very good job about, like, you know, like tracking it and, like, you know, reporting about it basically on the show and this and that. I feel like that this isn't a show that people are watching when it airs. I think a lot of people record it because we have so many options now. We can record it and, like, we can watch it on the apps and all this stuff. That I think it's, like, unfair to say that it's not doing well because we can watch it whenever we want to, and we watch it. Like, I don't know how many times I've rewatched the show just for, you know, doing the podcast, but it's like, are those counted? You know, it's like every time I watch it, like on my app, you know, like I don't have the AMC Premiere app, but I watch it through my Xfinity app and I just download it and I just watch it on the bus and blah, blah, blah. And I've watched it, like, you know, as many times as I can. So it's like, I don't think that it's doing bad. I think people are just not choosing to watch it on the day that it airs. And I think there should be a distinction about how well a show is doing when we're so used to this. People are probably still binge watching Stranger Things. you know, like are still like,
still.
Well, okay, I am because I'm.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Like, yeah,
like watching. Or in my case, episode per episode,
right? And yeah. I'm only gotten to some. Like, I didn't get to watch it on 4th of July and binge watch it. I was blowing stuff up, but it was like I have so many shows that I can actually put it into my day. So it's like, I just know Fear is going to be there and I can watch it when I can. And I think that the whole way that we are counting ratings and a popularity of show should change a little bit. So I don't think Fear is definitely not in any kind of bad situation. It's just people's way they're viewing it has changed.
Well, I will tell you this. Now, normally I don't publish the Lie Plus 7 and Lie Plus 3, but I did look at last week's Lie Plus 7, and that would have been for season 5 episode 4. And today, actually, I looked it up while you were talking, and TV by the Numbers has the Lie Plus 7 for episode 5, and looking at those, what we are seeing is, to go with episode 5, and that was the last, episode that we had ratings for, it went up to a 0.8 in the 18 to 49. It went up 60% from the first airing, and it went up a total of 1.0, basically a little over a million viewers after a week. So it went to 2.779 million, up 63% in total viewers. So, I mean, those numbers aren't bad.
Yeah, no, not at all.
You know, when you look at the Live Plus 7s, it definitely looks, a little more, more up there. But, I mean, it's still lower than I'm sure that they want. Right, but, But then again, like, I don't know about you, Mark, but I find that the having AMC Premiere and being able to get those episodes like 48 hours early, like, I find at least as far as doing the podcast, and, it's difficult to kind of put that into isolation because we do the podcast, and that means that we think about it as far as doing the podcast, but both of us have AMC Premiere. And at least for me, I find it a godsend that I can watch the episode like on Friday night or Saturday afternoon. Yep. And I don't have to rush to get the viewings in. And I find it didn't really work out this week just because of other stuff going on. But I found that I have been able to watch the episode usually more times and be a little more exhaustive in my comments because I've been able to watch it as many times. This time, due to some stuff going on, I didn't get to watch it last night or before we recorded tonight. I had it on the background, so it was almost like I was listening to the Fear the Walking Dead podcast simulcast. So it was like the audio version, but still I do like having the ability to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I appreciate in having. It's not like having Netflix, but in the sense that you're already ahead of the curve as being able to watch it. You won't be able to talk about it, but you have at least the chance to watch it, take more of it in at a later time as a regular viewer. We do this because we just want to get information and usually by my third or fourth watch, I'm just watching it for the pure entertainment of it.
Right. And I find that even if I wasn't podcasting about it, I would still want to have the premiere just because it lets, like, I don't like Sunday night. I don't have to make sure that I'm, just stuck to my tube and watching the boob tube, so to speak. I can be doing something else. I'm not stuck in, having my Sunday night plan. I can watch something else, but anyway, we should probably move on.
F- Feel better, Kyle. Thank you, Aaron. I definitely feel a lot better this week, so thank you for caring. All right, you continue. She says, I'm not shipping Al and Isabel, smiley face. The three circle jackets. The more I think about them, honestly, they remind me of dog bite training jackets. It would make sense to use them, too, because if they can stop a dog, certainly they could stop a zombie. There's a more mobile version, obviously, but the design really reminds me of a dog training suit. As an example, see here, and I guess she sent us a link with a picture, which we could share on the Facebook group. She continues, Sarah's too busy lock-lipping beer bottles to kiss someone. Ha. That said, can we stop with trying to make beer happen on the show, writers? The talk more about beer on the series than they do Madison, who affected most of the characters on some level and just died not too long ago. This makes me think Scott has something against Kim, especially when you factor in the takeover choice. Big, frowny, that looks like a gumdrop.
Big, frowny gumdrop, smiley face, or, you know, one of his emojis. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely miss, like, I do miss Madison a lot, and I don't know how much of, like, you know, is affecting the writers or affecting the direction of the show of trying to either try to get us to, like, not think about her anymore. But yeah, I just, they're just doing what they, I guess, are doing.
Yeah, and I honestly don't mind the beer talk on it, because every time, you know, Sarah wants a brewski, it makes me want, you know, to get one myself.
And I mean, it does have a little bit, like, because Jimbo and, like, there's the little interconnection of, you know, the balloon and just, like, you know, he is still contributing to, even though I feel like he got the short end of that stick. But
well, as Sarah said at one point.
Yeah.
Wow. Nines. Y'all did rate it high. This was a decent episode for sure on the whole, but not the best. I'd say mainly due to the beer pushes and how that hot air balloon got, so it wouldn't have been that high with those engines started. At least that's what I think you're trying to say, Aaron. Assuming they even made it that far to begin with, because wicker is not that strong. Also, it's convenient that there's good fuel for that. And Strand happens to know how to operate it enough to fly back. Well, you know, all of them, they're Renaissance people. They're helicopter pilots and they're airplane pilots and they're balloon pilots. They probably know how to drive the Goodyear blimp.
Hopefully not a Zeppelin.
Yeah. Also, would they survive that crash with no scratches? I did wonder that myself, actually. That ending just did not work for me. Even if they had made it, I continue to question how they think everyone is going to fit on these planes they find, because the cabins are small, and if you take supplies, forget it. This assumes you have enough fuel to reach your destination. I think it was Kyle? Maybe it's all of you on some level who's been on this, but it is getting ridiculous how they always have just the exact amount of fuel they need when they need it, and things don't work when they don't need them to. It's mostly Kyle, but Kyle, you like to go, your pet peeve is how these engines are still working in the apocalypse. Yeah.
And she continues saying, I'm with Mark. It looked like blood got on Sarah. Was it radioactive blood? Is the question. I don't think so. This could be the setup for her exit if Grace sweeps them and finds out she's tainted. I'm sure they'll have Sarah comment about just finishing Aggie's beer recipe, because again, they love the beer plot for some reason. But if this leads to her exit on the show, I wouldn't be surprised. And it's in the zombie genre for something simple like this to kill you later. I guess Dieta's rating of a 6 at best. And I have to I don't see that. It didn't really go into her eye or her mouth or anything. It just kind of went on her face a little bit. So when Sarah had that splash on her when she was working on the engine.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know exactly what extent that these kind of walkers, like how, like even being around them, is that enough? Or is it just getting the actual blood, you know, like on your face, or like actually it has to go in your mouth, you know, Morgan, like his, you know, his wooden, staff, it's like, Grace was just like, okay, that, you know, you can't have that anymore because it's contaminated. Mm-hmm. But in what regards? Like, I get, like, obviously, radiation basically irradiate out of a source, but I think that's just such low level that it would have to somehow get into your body. So we haven't seen that. That hasn't really been discussed or talked about or, you know, brought up on the show. So just at getting on your face by a couple drops and you not like actually ingesting it, I don't know if that's really enough to.
Yeah, to warrant that. Plus, we don't even know if those were infected zombies at that.
Right.
On top of that. Plus, look at Father Gabriel, and I know she doesn't watch The Walking Dead. Father Gabriel had that. An infection in his eye, and he lost sight of his eye. Right. Spoilers, sorry. But, you know, he walked away and was able to overcome feverish. He went through the whole rigors, and his body was able to acclimate, but, you know, he lost the use of his eye. Getting right. It in your mouth is another thing. Back in the early days of The Walking Dead, they used to say scratches, and they would always check people for scratches. But, I honestly think that the walkers that they encountered when that happened and they all went into that engine, I don't think they were the infected. I think they were just regular Zeds that were just turned.
Right, right. And we'll get into that later about this episode, about what I had some thoughts about just that whole idea of like what, you know, we don't know what walkers
have what.
Right, have what? So it's like, how can you tell?
Oh, well, Grace gave that. Into that later, though.
Yeah, exactly. All right. She continues, I'd rate the beer balloon as weak sauce. I definitely feel John lying about Sherry is going to come back to bite him because Dwight doesn't seem like someone who plays when it comes to her. So this could end up poorly for John by season's end, or maybe Dwight, because John does have June watching his back. It's kind of like the Strand Daniel debate we were having earlier, but even more on John because at least Strand went to the last place he saw Ophelia. John straight up just lied to Dwight.
Yeah, that he did.
Yep, and I agree.
Brian, I applaud you every time you can say Al's last name correctly and without pause. You mean Althea Sethcheck Bergaki? Aaron. Truth be told, I had to say it four times before I got it right. Charlie will always be the tool that killed Madison. Indeed. Sorry, Charlie. That's just how it is. And Chris is gone, thank God. So she says, second and third and fourth to this. Chris will always be the worst character to me. Yeah, he definitely was. Force me, Dad. Having hope in an episode is fine, Brian. I'll give you that. The part where the little brother says he feels in his heart it would work was sweet. But for me, it was the execution of things that brought this episode down to a 5 or 6 rating. The beer pushes being a number one annoyance, followed closely by Alicia's still trying to save the kids, which, okay, they're kids. So people feel compelled to rescue them. But at a point, that plot gets old because it has no progress beyond run and chase. If you're ballsy enough to kill your lead mid-season, what's a few kids to you?
Seriously, I agree.
Yeah. Talk about adding drama to the season and for the characters moving forward on and how you can't save everyone even if you want to. Grace is interesting for the radiative situation, but I dislike Morgan. So that's only half entertaining for those scenes. I'm starting to get Kyle syndrome. What is Kyle syndrome?
I
feel where coincidences are starting to become too much, such as the hot air balloon having fuel to fly, much less being able to carry those propeller pieces that long away. So things are becoming more of a joke than dramatic. And to that, I thought about this after we recorded, but I wondered if they actually drove part of the way. Like, you know, we don't actually find that out, but what would stop them from driving, you know, up to, say, the point where the roads are washed out and then take a balloon and fly it the rest of the way? Because like a lot of people said, and I heard people say, certain people said on different podcasts, I think Diana, you and Steve mentioned it on Aim for the Head, about how, like, flying a balloon, it you really don't have much control over the balloon, and it's basically you just have to pick an air pocket, and that, you know, you hit like a jet stream kind of thing, and that kind of guides you. Otherwise, you're just kind of controlling your up and your down, and the wind kind of just blows you. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, this wasn't a blimp. This was a balloon. I mean, what they should have done is they should have made the darn thing a blimp. I mean, that would have been a little more, like, you know, horseshit, but it would have been a little more understandable that they could get from point A to point B. A balloon, on the other hand, it's a fluke that they could get over the mountains. So, yeah, I guess last week I just wanted to like the episode because I really didn't like the last episode. So, yeah, I was a little more forgiving. I think it was probably forgiving this episode too, but yeah, I guess.
She continues on saying, the elements of a good season are there, and sometimes they do well with them, like in Al's episode and the first episode of the actual season. But on the whole, I get why most are seeing this season as just meh. It's not good and it's not bad. You still have some viewers who remember season 3, 2, and when you compare these again, it's not hard to be not surprised by the ratings. Maybe this is just because they have too many characters right now, instead of getting a good bit on everyone. You only get a little bit on some each week, depending on who's your favorite this season. It could vary. And quality for you also, because Luciana has had crap really to do, and you saw her as just a girlfriend for the last two seasons. You have to be annoyed with her progression. Alicia is basically slamming her head against a wall with these kids, which, as others have said, is getting annoying to watch, because it's not like even if someone is staying with her to make her plot feel progressive. If they run, she chases until the plots end and then the writers want to do something else.
Strand is kind of just there as needed, and as an original character, that's a bummer to watch. June feels wasted to me. No one is listening from her, which again feels dumb as she's such a great resource. Sure, she tags along with John sometimes, but I feel she could be doing more. Who even remembers Matt Feuer's character at this point? He's going to feel so random when he shows back up. Will fans even care when he does return because the investment isn't there? He's been off screen for so long. Al got her token sprinkling of character reveals, so it's back on the shelf as it were for her for a bit. Instead of building on the whole people are more than just past stories thing they set up last week. Sarah and Wendell are guest characters, so if you like them, you definitely have to be bummed seeing them for only like 30 seconds every 3 weeks. And with Charlie, they're trying, but again, she can't outrun killing Nick and by extension, Madison, so people are going to follow her so much.
I can't guarantee a smaller cast will help, but it seems it couldn't hurt, ratings-wise, to make things feel tighter and more focused. Then again, It could just be a writing thing where this group, no matter how much they try, just isn't Dave Erickson's team. So while they're okay, most want the show back the way it was, character-driven over stunts and TWD teases. Because I don't know if the writers know this or not, but not all Fear fans watch The Walking Dead, nor did all Walking Dead fans watch Fear before now. So we don't care about certain people, no matter how much you have them in the series. I totally agree, Glynis, regarding John's handling of the letter. Ooh, Brian, so cheesy with the X-Men joke. I both applaud you and take the applause away. Yep. All right. So thank you so much. And I'll, of course, give you one of these. All right. So moving on to this week, season 5, episode 7, Still Standing, written by Richard Nang, co-producer. And I think I'll take a second to explain this. One thing I've noticed, and this might actually explain maybe some of the issues that we've had with writing this season, I've just noticed that in terms of writing producers, there is there's Gimple, and we haven't actually seen his name on the credits. There are the two co-showrunners, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg. And then the next guy on the list in terms of like producers that are writers seems to be Richard Nang. Now, okay, we don't know about Michael Alimo because we haven't seen him in the credits yet. He's a co-executive producer and he's new, so he might be writing something. I don't know, but he hasn't written anything yet. But in terms of the next producer that has any credits, it's this guy, and he's only a co-producer. So what does that tell me? If you look at the end credits on the episodes, you'll see several of the writers of the episodes are like executive story editors, staff writers. And basically that's like the bottom of the barrel. Like that's where everybody starts, is that staff writer. Then they, next year they move up to story editor. The next move, they move up to executive story editor and then co-producer. So there's like a whole, like chain of things that they do. And I know this from, you know, trying to break in as a writer, trying to sell scripts to Star Trek. So anyway, the bottom line here is there were some more senior writers that were writing for the show last season. Right now, at least from what we've seen for season 5, the senior writers are the showrunners and everybody else is not so experienced. So just keep that in mind. Directed by, and this I think might be the first cross between the two shows, Marta Cunningham. Now, I may be wrong about that, but I do know that she is James Frain's wife. And if you don't know who James Frain is, he, of course, plays Sarek on Star Trek Discovery. And you may know him from, I think he was in Gotham. And certainly I know him from Orphan Black. But anyway, Marta Cunningham is his wife. And she is a pretty accomplished director. But I know her from directing season 2, episode 7 of Star Trek Discovery, Light and Shadows, and that is the first episode that we actually see Spock. And that one is, you know, special. It's a special episode. Anyway, the description is Strand and Charlie seek safety. Dory helps Dwight on his quest. Morgan stays focused on the greater mission. Elsewhere, Alicia refuses to give up. All right, so let's move on to our ratings. So, Mark, what did you think of Still Standing?
Well, I gave it 8.5 out of 10. Alicia getting radiated by some zombies.
Okay. Kyle?
I give it a 7.9. Give Alicia the GD weapon, Annie, out of 10.
I am going to first drop last week's to an 8 after some reflection. And I'm going to give this one an 8 as well. So I'm going to give it 8 leisurely strolls with radiated walkers. As Strand would say.
Nice.
All right. So we have some ratings. Bark, why don't you start?
Well, Diana from Illinois and Aim for the Head podcast says 6 out of 10 creepy kid drawings.
And, you know, we should also mention that she's doing the host Podcastica podcast for
The Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. So
yeah.
Nice.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah. Her and Lizzie from Brains Gone Bad.
All right. Alex from New Jersey, he gives it 6 out of 7 or out of 10.
No.
Sorry.
God, this is why I asked him. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to keep all this in because this it's a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Oh, 6. Yeah, no, I
yeah. Was reading already. Yeah, keep all this in though because this will get explained.
All right. Well, Alex from New Jersey gives it a 6 or 7 out of 10. What's slower, the Grawlers or this storyline?
And you know, when I saw this come in on Facebook, I sent him a message. I'm like, well, is it a 6 or like what it looked like? It was a 6/.7 or something like that. He had it written really weird, obviously written on his phone. So I asked him, well, is this a 6 or a 7? And he's like, yeah, it's a 6 or a 7. I said, and my response to him was, way to commit.
he's wobbling and wavering like a zombie. So.
Yeah. And his response to that was, yeah, you're right. Just like the episode, no commitment. And then yeah, I think it was talking about some stuff that we have going on behind the scenes with which we'll hopefully get to announce to you next week. But just some stuff going on. And I said, maybe we need a 7-day trial.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we need Alex to be on again. It'd be fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, things that we'll get to do in the future.
That is true.
LT from NC, he says, this week is a 7 out of 10, gut spills. Since everyone is seeming bound and determined to spill their guts out about something, and 7 only if you round up from 6.55555. So in other words, it wasn't quite a 7. All right, let's move on to Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! We only got 2 this week. Kyle, why don't you start it off?
All right, Deanna from Illinois, she says, I love the scene between Dwight and John. John can't help but be honest, and he's so sweet being concerned that Dwight is going to hate him for lying.
LT from NC, he has an Awesome Sauce, sort of. He says, I really struggled for any Awesome Sauces this week. I was going to mention the improvised balloonaflage nylon that Strand and Charlie pulled up to screen themselves from the walkers. The only question I had is, how did it suddenly seem to be not beer colored for as much fabric as they had on the ground? Well, I don't know. It's kind of gold, so, but yeah, I mean, I could see that. All right, so what do you guys have for Awesome Sauce, Mark?
Well, to add on to him, yeah, Strand and Charlie's little stand with the zombies with the balloon as a cover. It had that original Nightmare on Elm Street look with the Zeds just pushing their messed up faces on the balloon wall, like in A Nightmare on Elm Street, when Freddy was doing that over Nancy's bed through the wall. Yeah, it had, you know, their faces just pushed through like a rubbery thing. I really thought that was cool and awesome. The next would be, Alicia's strength in the episode was really good. I thought her determination to help the kids was awesome. She showed how she can fight and keep a little herd back with her tactics. But in the end, she gets exposed and knows that it happened to her. I hope this isn't bye-bye to Alicia.
Yeah. No, I'm like, well, for that, that's another thing we'll talk about. But I'm like, I like Alicia's mad skills that she has with her weapon and taking out the walkers. I mean, I feel like she's really shown how capable she is to hold her own. Like, that's one of the things that I really, really like about her character and how we've seen her progress throughout the whole entire series is how she's always stepped up there and just like, she does a lot of good. And it's like, she's... Sorry for the WoW reference, if some of you don't know what WoW is, but she's basically the tank of the group.
And, I know what WoW is.
Yeah.
WoW is like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
World of Warcraft?
Yes, she's a tank.
Yeah.
She basically holds off all the... Like, she takes all the damage and, like, holds up the shield while everybody else, like, escapes just like the children did.
Wow. All right. Mark, what about you?
Well, to continue on with the, awesome sauce. Yeah. My next bit of awesome sauce would be the optimism from Dwight about Sherry after John reveals the letter he was hiding from Dwight. Dwight is making it his mission now to get John back to June, which is a really nice thought. I hope it doesn't end with him leaving the show in some gruesome way, because it's a bit of notion of hope. And every time we see hope, what happens? They go away.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Or should we say,
it's a trap.
It's like every time we get a notion of hope, and it's like, I'm just starting to like Dwight. Come on. They're actually giving him a character in this.
Yeah. The one thing I heard this on Aim for the Head. I heard Jason on Walking Dead cast mention this as well. They seem to write character better than they write plot. And that's certainly true when you see June and John, and I'd say Dwight, and it's the story parts where they seem to lack.
Excelling.
Yeah. They seem to not quite get it, but.
Like the people they excel in, the story itself, they stink.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Kyle, what do you have?
I felt like that it's like, I mean, even though it hasn't really happened yet, but it's like, I guess my opposite sauce is of the urgency of the reactor meltdown. Like, I feel like that whole concept and like, we know that it's coming. It hasn't happened yet, but it's just seeing how our characters are like having to deal with like this impending doom. And, you know, it's like, we know that there's a clock ticking about, like, oh, this thing is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. And so it's just like, I like that because I feel it's like that adds this element of at least this part of the show that is going to make it more, you know, exciting and more just like, oh, like what's going to happen? And like, we know they only have so much time and everybody's scrambling.
So we're expecting a zombie Godzilla?
Well, stop. You literally are on that. So if it happens, I will give you like literally like $100. I am pretty confident that I'm not going to have to do that because, yeah.
No.
But
we'll see. But if that does happen, Mark will be very happy. It'd be like two worlds collide, Godzilla and zombies. Yeah. Match made in heaven. Well, I don't have anything written down for Awesome Sauce, but I'll mention a couple of things off the top of my head. I kind of like what might be going on with Grace and Morgan. I don't ship people, but there's something about those two. I'd like to kind of ship them. I could see them together. I don't know why, but I just kind of get that vibe. So I would say that's part of it. I would also say the scenes with the kids and Alicia, you know, the work of Alicia, like there's a game that gets played every season on Brains Gone Bad, which they've been kind of spotty in their podcasts this season. I know Lizzie's pretty busy, but they do a thing every year called the Zompocalypse Fantasy 5. Unfortunately, this year I forgot about it. So like first time in many years I'm not playing, but if I had had Alicia in my number one position, I would have gotten many, many kills this week. Yes. So I like that. I like how finally Annie seemed to understand that, you know, Alicia was sincere and they, you know, they could protect them. I also liked, but it was sad at the same time, the fact that those, you know, the walkers that are like strung up by their guts, that came from a nightmare from Dylan. And like, I thought it was a really cool twist that I didn't see, but at the same time, it's probably also fits in the sad sauce. So I'll just give it a pre-sad sauce. And I would also maybe mention Strand for being Strand and his ability to turn a phrase. So he said a few funny things. The one thing I mentioned, the leisurely stroll, I like that. But he also said something near the end, I think it was about Morgan. I can't remember specifically what he said, but I just like how he talks. So, all right, let's move on to weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. So we've got a big one here from LT. Why don't we split this one up? Mark, why don't you read the first four?
Well, LT from NC says, the weak sauces abound this week. I know it was for dramatic effect, but why did it have to whip the mask off Morgan? It was just such a big deal to get the expletive deleted protective suit.
Also known as boop.
Yeah. Before he going to get the props and rescue the balloon bunch, you just contaminated yourself by whipping the mask off. Which is true. It's like, hold on, I saved you. I just breathed that in. Darn it. So, and he continues on saying, just to be pedantic, the fuel tanks on the airplane hold 88 gallons of fuel at max capacity. So why did it take so long for anyone to notice the leak? Plus, they got 6 or 7 jerry cans from Isabel's fuel stash. So figure 35 gallons or so. I'm thinking it may be another short flight at this point. He might be right.
Crash land.
Bing, boom. Another crash landing again in yep. The season of Fear the Walking Dead. Stay tuned. He also adds, okay, so I appreciated Al talking to June and her fessing up about what happened when she went missing, but the larger context was not, I met this girl and we hit it off to me, but there is this organization out there who has a lot of working pre-Walker collapse stuff, and they will kill us. Plus, like I said in the voicemail, it isn't a secret anymore. Not that I don't trust June, but...
John and Dwight. I'm glad that John came clean, but being stuck on the side of the road should not have been the primary driver, to being honest. Once again, doesn't anyone ever look at the gas gauge in this universe? Alicia and the kids in the treehouse. When she decided to do the Spartan stand at the pass to give the kids time to get away, I had that feeling, why didn't she try to shove something at the gate? Or at least cut the bridge? I just knew there would be a Dossamer on that last walker she killed once she got the face full of goo. With one episode to go before the break, there had to be something. I just wish it wasn't this. As far as the kids go, do we have any idea where the Creek River goes? While bugging out in the raft, it's expedient. Do we have any idea where they'll end up? Riddle me this. So if they needed the generator to power the coolant pumps at the plant, why is it powering the sirens? Just saying, if the moral compass rule is still in effect, Hardwick better get a bigger couch when they come back on air.
Yeah, and that show should be back on next week for the mid-season finale. I just don't know if it's on right after Fear or if it's going to do a Nosferatu, post-Nosferatu.
Right, yeah.
You know, I think it's probably going to be, right? So.
I have a question.
Yes?
If Alicia was on that, you know, just to bring up her thoughts on it, why didn't she whip out, like, a machete and do Indiana Jones to just cut the bridge down like he did in Temple of Doom?
You would think that would be, like, a very obvious thing to do, but that was not.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Although the walkers would just fall down there, and the fall probably wouldn't kill them because it's not enough. Yeah. So, yeah. But it would be enough to deter get away.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. We have one from Diana from Illinois, also from Aim for the Head podcast. Hi, Diana. How did you rig a balloon shaped like a beer bottle into an effective circular shaped barrier while also trying to lead walkers away? By the way, it's kind of funny that Charlie is like saying, "Hey, look over here." I'm thinking to myself, the walkers don't understand you. You really could say anything. Hey, everyone. Anyway,
make a lot of noise.
Be like they'll speak zombie to each other.
She's a kid. She don't know better.
Yeah. Also, how did Al climb up there alone? Oh, yes. Yes. They kind of yada, yada, yada the mountain climb. Mm-hmm. I noticed this too. So good point there, Diana. And then Diana mentioned something that I would have had to have mentioned in my weak sauce, but she mentioned it first. So I'll give her the credit. She says, Morgan picked Grace's house. Out of all the employee houses, he picked hers. Yeah, I thought, you know, that's a pretty strong coincidence. And who was the walker that was in the room? Was that her husband or boyfriend or something? All right. Our weak sauce, Mark, what do you have?
Well, I found it a bit weak that we have not seen or heard from Sarah and Wendell yet again. I'm getting tired of it. Not seeing the rest of the cast in other areas outside the current story. You know, we got a little bit of that, last week, where we saw a little bit of everybody, but now this week, we're not going to do that. We're going to save it for the next episode. Better writing from comics dictate that because they always use a quick panel to let people know of what else is going on in other characters, they should be doing that within this show. just to not to, I'm not going to say bait us on, but at least give us a little bit of information, you know?
Yeah. Well, hint, hint, they will be featured next week, I think.
Yes, I know that.
All right, Kyle, do you have any weak sauce?
No, because I'm saving it for the Watt sauce.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much me as well. I mean, there wasn't any other than what Diana had, and of course what LT had. I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, there were, you know, some, like, this episode to me, it was okay. I mean, it was decent, but it wasn't great. And, you know, when it kind of gets to that level, it a lot of times you don't have anything like really weak to say. And I'd probably say that this time. All right. So let's move on to what sauce.
What?
So Alex from New Jersey says, what's with Alicia? Are they really going to kill her off?
Indeed.
And he continues on saying, the growlers did not attack as much when she was killing them in the door opening. It was like they were waiting to get killed. So I could understand the Ali Ali Oxen Freeze group hesitancy to leave, but come on, the treehouse wasn't working. You think?
Yeah, well, you know, the walkers were doing, of course, what all martial art movies do. And, you know, all the bad guys come one at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
It's like a video game.
That's it that we got for what sauce from our listeners. Do you have any what sauce for you, Mark?
No.
Kyle, I think you do have some what sauce.
Oh, the what. Like Sarah said before, get the ladle because soup's on and it's thick. Okay, now I know they are pushing the story to whatever endpoint they have in store for us, but watching just keeps adding more questions instead of answers. So here we go. So if the eyeball walker is the one that is contaminated, wouldn't there be another contaminated walker that the kids strung up like that? And how did they not get exposed just by tying them up? And I really doubt that all those walkers were tied up like that with their own guts. Like it would have lasted that long. I mean, are zombie guts, like, do they not decompose as fast as like regular dead stuff, you know, from like the weather, from like bugs and all that stuff? I mean, we do hear Morgan saying, he's all like, you know, don't get their blood on you or you'll die. So it's like, I just don't know if, like, you know, the kids saw that or knew about the, you know, irradiated walkers.
Well, they had those necklaces around them that indicated what they were. Now, mind you, we see that at the last minute with Alicia when she gets exposed, but maybe the kids were more aware of it at certain points.
Well, I think Alicia, like, saw that on that one walker with the, you know, stringy eyeball. She was, like, going around, like, you know, like, killing all the other walkers, you know, and, like, you know, stabbing them in the head and stuff like that. But then it was that one that she looked at, and I felt like she just knew that that was, you know, contaminated walker. At least that's kind of what I got, you know, unless she just, you know, that walker just freaked her out for some reason. And really, did Charlie string up that whole balloon barrier in like 2 seconds and like rig this pulley system while I guess Strand was like leading the walkers around in circles? I mean, they put that up in like instant record time.
Yeah, it was kind of unbelievable at certain points where he was struggling. He actually had to drag that propeller across the balloon.
Right.
You would think it would rip it too based upon the weight. And then she already set it up with all the gimbals to pull up and string up through the trees to go right up, right in front of them. And like a dog or some animal that is a little bit clueless going, huh? Where did he go? Where did he go? And they just keep crawling through. I know.
We've like seen like walkers, like in this whole entire, like, you know, universe or show, like nothing stops them. Like, they will, you know, bust through with the, you know, especially if there's enough of them, they'll bust through like any like door, you know, wall.
Yeah, their bones and, you know, what have you, and they could just easily rip right through it if need be. But, you know, you got to suspend your disbelief, I guess.
And I've already said that before. You know. So I'm going to continue on with that. you know, it's like, so Alicia was covered with tainted blood. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, she's dead. Like, I don't understand how, like, everything that we've seen or been told in the show about this contaminated, like, zombies and, like, all this other stuff, that she is going to survive. And because of that, I just feel like this is either going to be the biggest Gipple dumpster fire or, like, I don't know how we're going, like, that whole scene basically is like leading me to think that it's like, this is, they're putting a nail in this coffin, and I don't really like it, but it's just like, I just feel it's like that scene in itself was like, this is the end of the story. Like, they're going to change it. They're like, they're moving it off in another direction. Like, none of our characters, like, none of the OGs are basically, they don't matter. Like, Strand might die next week too. Like, it's over. But I'm like, if it's not, this will be the freaking biggest Gipple dumper fire. And I will just like, I will literally reach out through my TV. And if I can strangle him, I will strangle him. Because I'm like, if Alicia at this point is not dead and they do not like move the story further, then I'm like, this is our bull.
Bull dinkies.
Bull dinky. Oh, I'll bleep that out.
And I have the exact opposite reaction, because I'm saying, seriously, if they're going to kill Alicia, I may have to stop podcasting about this show, because I'm telling you, first they, you know, kill off Travis. Well, of course, they before that, they killed off Chris, and we don't care about that. Well, well, they killed off more than Chris. Obviously, they killed off
Troy.
Well, yeah, they killed off Troy, but I was going to say they killed off Chris's mom first, then then Travis, then they killed off Troy, which I think, you know, he wasn't an OG, but that was an interesting character, and and then of course they killed off Nick, which was quite the shock. And then they even trump that with killing off Madison. So essentially all you've got left from season one is the part-time Daniel, Strand, and Alicia. And like those, Strand and Daniel aren't strong enough characters, at least in terms of like screen time, to be able to hold the show for me. So while I agree with you on that point, I have to take the opposite reaction, because I do not want this character dead. So if they kill her off, either one of two things has to happen for me. Either the show's ending, like after five seasons, and they haven't announced whether the show's renewed or not, so that's possible. Or she comes back in, and she's really not infected.
Yeah.
Now, I looked at it a few times over and over again, trying to see, well, did she actually, was that like viscera or blood that's all over her? Was that that particular walker's, or because what it looked like to me,
a bunch of other walkers that she was killing at that time. Yeah.
What it looked like to me is when that walker, when she pulled out her weapon out of him, it looked like it just sprayed straight up in the air, and it didn't hit her, but I cannot say convincingly or 100% for sure that that's the case. However, and I think Aaron would agree with me on this, that I am not going to be happy if she dies. Yes, I think that they have to explain that, and they better explain it really well. But I don't agree with you in terms of the fact that, like, that was de facto dead. Now, she could end up dead, okay? And the show could end up going on, but it's like, then I think at that point, I think they've really eroded the show that was. I mean, literally, you would only have Strand left because, you know, I don't think we can really count on Daniel. He seems to be part-time at best. You know, he's only been in two part-time episodes character. So far, you know. Yeah. So I just really wonder what is going on. It could be just a big fake out.
And that would be really, really bad if it was a big fake out. That's kind of my whole Gimple moment was like, that would be.
It would be a Glenn in a dumpster.
Yes, and times two. Thing. It's just like, we don't need that because, like, I understand what you're saying. That it's like, well, yeah, that might have been coming from something else since that. But it's like, she put her weapon into that guy's throat or the walker's throat and pulled it out and it splashed up. And it's just like, and then she's sitting there like, oh my gosh, I'm concerned. Well, if she's concerned, then I'm concerned.
And that's why I say the other option that maybe she does get sick from this and maybe she does die. But when she dies, maybe the season's over and or next season's over. And at that point, like when she dies, so does the show.
Yeah. Well,
and it moves into the movies.
Yeah. And that might end up being the case. We just don't know it. And, you know, they don't want to announce it yet. But maybe that's what it's going to end up being. I'm sure that on Friday at Comic-Con, Hardwick will be asking about this. And I imagine he'll also be asking about it on Talking Dead. This week, but like I say, to me, that would make the most sense is that the show ends up ending, you know, Alicia characters ends.
She's the last of the Clark family. Yeah. So that's how the show started.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then the remnants of what we got from the show from season four on with Morgan and everybody else moving into the movies. And that's a good foreseeable idea, but hopefully things will change. Maybe. Who knows? Yeah,
we'll see. I'm just going to put it out there. So I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I mean, I think that this was a shitty choice to make, and I would have rather them not make that choice, but they've made it. So
yeah, so it was like, yeah, we'll see where they go with it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that would be the best alternative, because let's face it, the show ending wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
No, but like ending on a bad note, just like, oh yeah, you killed off Madison, killed off all the Clarks, you killed everybody that even started this show.
As long as they don't kill John Dory and June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might be the ones that like continue it on then, so I don't know.
But the main thing, and I didn't say this already, but if they are going to kill off Alicia and Luciana stays, so help me God.
I know.
Oh, no. They need to make Alicia stay and Luciana go, honestly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for our what sauce. Let's move on to the sad/very cute variety. Aww. Well, we didn't get any sad sauce from our listeners, but we had some. Mark?
Well, we kind of like poked this bear too much, but my sad sauce would be, I was sad to see Alicia get quote-unquote infected, questionable, with radiation from one of the zombies. Like we already dragged this through the dirt so much already, you can tell on her face that she knew something, and you feel that, but hopefully, in good sense, it won't be this sad sauce.
Yeah, and worth saying again, you know, She talks to Morgan. She doesn't say anything. That stupid trope about, like, you know, not revealing, you know, characters don't say the things that they need to say. They fell into that stupid trope again. And and maybe Morgan could have told her, oh, all you got to do is blah, blah, blah. You know, like if Grace was with him at the time, you know, she would have said, oh, just, you know, wash yourself or, you know, use, you know, some kind of soap or something. And maybe that would be the extent of it. But
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, kind of like the, I just hope they don't pull the whole Andrea comic book attitude of, like, she gets bit on the neck slightly and, you know, spoilers. Yeah. If you didn't read the comic, go read the comic. But, you know, she winds up going out that way. But, you know, I hope it doesn't turn that way. I'm hoping for the best and we'll go from there. So my next bit of awe sauce would be a bit of awe. You know, before it was said, but this is awe for me, a bit of awe sauce for Al, because she decides to tell June about the events when she disappeared. Plus June accepting the information about the fuel and having to be quiet about how Al got that information. But I don't think that will last for long. I think the rest of the group will find out.
Okay. I don't really have anything sad to contribute, so let's move on to our feedback section.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. And actually, unlike the actual doc, which is wrong. All right, so we got some feedback this week in a voicemail from LT from NC. Let's play that.
Hello, this is feedback for the Walking Dead talkthrough. This is LT from NC. Just to clear up what I said in my comments last week, I saw the last half first, then saw the first half last on the rebroadcast, and just didn't have the juice to watch the second half again. So that's what I meant by whatever Brian thought I said. This week, man, I'm going to have to go with 7, and that's pushing it out of 10, gut spills, because it seems like everybody this week was spilling their guts about something. Now, just to keep it brief, I'm going to send the rest of my comments in email. As we established on the Discovery podcast, I don't want to run like my friend from the Netherlands, Fred, and go long, so I will be brief. But just for a voice comment, what is it was this week that everybody had to do their confessions? You know, John had to tell Dwight that, oh, well, I lied about the letter. And, you know, Al June had to do their thing of, I met a girl and she's mysterious and you can't tell anybody. Doesn't she know that's the kiss of death? You never tell somebody something and press it with, you can't tell anybody, because they're going to tell somebody. Everything this week was pretty either weak or what. I don't know if there was anything that was strong or that was a yes. Just to throw it out there, I mean, we all knew that if she was going to go save the kids and did the stuff, that something bad was going to happen. We knew that there's only one episode left before the break. So why did she have to go on the stupid killing rampage at the gate? And of course, one of the freaking zombies, after you get a mouthful of blood, has a dosimeter on it. The setup was there. We all saw it coming. Okay, I got to get back to work. Enough of the rambly bits.
Well, thank you so much, LT, for your voicemail. Much appreciated. All right. So what you guys think?
I thought he kind of hit the nail on the head.
Yes, he did. And didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had one final thought in that he wrote. Kyle, you have it. It's down a little lower, but right. Why don't you read it now?
Yeah, he says, final thought is I'm beginning to stop reminding me of why I stopped watching Fear. And why I have this sort of cool off about Walking the Dead as a whole. I find myself watching out as a spectator at a train wreck than just seeing what happens, more than being really concerned about the characters. Of course, I'll still be watching this, but I hope they do something to get me invested in this crew. And I cannot agree with him more, because it's like, yeah, it's like, we've been watching the show since day one, and mm-hmm. it's
been covering it.
I've been
covering it since day one.
That it's like these characters, we do care about them, and we have had that moments and of their successes or whatever this, this and that. But it's like, we are getting to that point where it's like things are changing so much, and I'm like, I don't know what to do about it. Like the fact that Alicia is potentially the last Clark, the last somewhat OC to be.
Not somewhat. I'd say she's the only one left from the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. You know? She's definitely from the original first episode.
Yeah.
And so it's like that leaves a lot to be like, okay, so where are we going with this? And I'm like, and I don't like it. So.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about. I'm like, what am I going to do after that? Because I literally don't care about the kids. I don't care about Morgan. I don't care about Dwight. I don't care about John and June, because it's like Alicia is the last that we've had that we saw at least in season three that was like, these are amazing things that we love about the things that are going on in the character, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, you're kind of taking it all away from us.
Well, yeah. Your point about it being kind of like Glenn out of the dumpster kind of thing. I mean, I really hope it doesn't turn out to be that, but it is kind of, if she does end up surviving, yeah, it is kind of the switcheroo here, but hopefully it won't, go, she won't disappear for five episodes.
I think this is the end. And not that I care that they want to choose to go this way, but I'm like, but I want to see where they go with this. And I'm like, I want it to be rewarding. And it's like, fine. End Fear, merge the show, do something else. But then I'm like, I want it to be something that is good. So it's like, you tell me what you want to go through, but I'm like, if we have to lose Alicia, then fine. It's like, then make it worth it. That's my only
very
thing.
True.
I'm like, I want it to be worth it. Otherwise, if it's not, then it's like, okay, then I'll have a problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that point. If they are going to kill her, make it worth, and let's face it. I mean, they've also done this on The Walking Dead. I mean, maybe she will end up with those people and those people can save her. I mean, maybe they have a cure. I mean, who knows? But anyway, okay, we got another piece of feedback. Mark, why don't you read it?
Yeah, Alex from New Jersey says, the actors in this show are killing it, but they are giving such crappy stories. How long are they going to be there? It really needs 8 episodes to get out of this place. I do love the show and was really looking forward to it, but at this point, it's hard to watch. I'm rooting for the radioactive growlers now.
speaking of dumpster, it is kind of a dumpster fire for that matter,
Yeah.
And for that matter, I said it earlier, last week, I think I was very lenient on the episode. And I think to an extent I was lenient on this episode. I do enjoy their positive outlook in trying circumstances, and probably because of that, and because, well, I kind of need things being positive right now. It kind of helps do the podcast. And listeners, you won't know what I'm talking about, but maybe you will soon. Stay tuned. But anyway, we will. No, I'm not leaving the podcast. I just want to make, but I've got your attention, don't I? Anyway, I just think the more I think about it, and I really didn't think about it in this context until we started recording, but I have been thinking about it in other contexts, is wondering whether or not this is going to be the end of this series. It's going to end at 5 seasons, and then some of the characters will move on to the movies. Or they'll end up on this new show that's shooting in Virginia, which we have a news item for this week about. I don't know. It's up in the air at this point, but we'll see. All right, so our own notes now. So do you have anything, Mark?
I have nothing else to add.
Kyle does, though.
Yes, and you guys can't see this, but I thought it's like, was the scene with June and Al when they're packing up the truck with the fuel and all that stuff, I was like, did that not look like the same scene from, was it season 3 episode? I remember that episode, but it's like mile marker 54.
Yeah. That'd be season 4.
No, it was season
episode 14. Oh, yeah, season now, are four. you talking about the one where Strand and John are stranded?
Well, no, I think it's where Dirty Girl was like having her whole like moment and like, you know, but I was like where mile lady. Marker 54 was, and that like she had her whole problems. It looked exactly like the same scene of like the shots and everything of that whole thing. So I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, by the water, yeah.
And it's like that's where she had her moment where she went crazy, I guess, and then
okay.
So I don't know. I thought it was like, oh, I that looks familiar.
So I mean, to me, it looked a little bit like the one with Strand and John Dory. And that's what I thought you were going to say. But, yeah, I don't know.
The captions, obviously, were, like, from this episode. So it's like there's John and
right.
Like, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, the scenes like that you show in these pictures look very similar.
Yeah.
Like it was filmed in the same area, so... Yeah, they are filming in that area, so I wouldn't be surprised that they would do a scene like this there.
Is that all you have?
Yeah, that was it.
I don't have anything specific to say, although I will say, you know, looking back at it so far, you know, we had the character played by Matt Frewer, and looks like we might see him next week. Possibly.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been the only quote unquote bad guy that we've had. And obviously he wasn't much of a bad guy, at least yet he hasn't been, but essentially it's just been, you know, them trying to get out of a situation. And, you know, we have seen this before, like on The Walking Dead with say, the bad guy was the virus in the prison. You know, so it was like the bad guy was the elements, and to an extent, I would say that that's also true with this. But it does seem like the show is better on character than it is on plot, and it's kind of funny. I mean, when these guys took over in season 4, it got off to a great start. And ever since then, It's just, you know, we didn't like the second half. I certainly didn't, for the most part. I thought it was quite, you know, had so many plot holes. Like, I'm not seeing plot holes like last year. I'm not seeing so many of the, oh, come ons, but they're still there. Like, I mean, the points about the balloon and, both, you know, flying the balloon, being able to use it for, you know, a wall in very short order. I mean, if that was true, I mean, why don't they just have a balloon? You know, it seems to me it would be great, you know, a temporary wall. But, you know, so I would say that plot wise, it's weak, maybe not quite as weak as the second half of last season, but it's still, you know, and when it comes to this plot twist with Alicia, like you said, Kyle, and I think it's for different reasons, but I don't like it. I don't want to see this character die. And they went there. And I just hope that if they are going to save her, that they do it in a believable way. Although I don't know how they could at this point. So if she dies, if she does it in a way to sacrifice herself, or like I say, I think it would be fitting if it was at seasons, or, you know, the end of the season, and that's when the show ends, that would work, I think. But I don't like, I really, when I saw this, you know, on Saturday when I watched it, I was like, I even yelled at my screen. I said, are you kidding me? You better not be killing her off. And, you know, then I kind of zabrudered it and went back and forth and looked it over again and thought, well, maybe that blood on her wasn't from that walker. But I don't know. To me, anyway, I just wish they wouldn't have gone there, but they did. And they've gone certain places with this show that I haven't liked since, you know. And I mean, the funny thing is, we look at Dave Erickson now as this revered showrunner because of what a fantastic job he did with season 3. But season 2, at least until the end of it, was pretty much a dumpster fire too. So, but he certainly redeemed himself in season 3, and I just don't like what they've done. And the ratings seem to indicate that most people agree. And speaking of that, let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. So we didn't have ratings for last week. So I'm going to give you them in the reverse order of what I have in our show notes. So for the last one that we've given you guys was for season 5, episode 5, The End of Everything. It got a 0.46, which was actually slightly up from the previous week. And it got 1.708 million viewers. Now compare that to last week. We didn't have the ratings last week because A, we recorded on a Monday night instead of on a Tuesday night, but we wouldn't have had the ratings Tuesday night anyway because they were delayed because of the 4th of July. So they didn't come out until Wednesday. But when they finally did, it got a series low of 0.2 in the 18-49 demographic with 1.488 million viewers. The first time it got below 1.5 million. And that was, unfortunately, a series low. So but I'm not done. So for this week, it got an even lower, and maybe because so many people didn't like last week, but it got a 0.34 in the 18-49. So it went even lower, and it didn't break 1.4 million this time. It got a 1.393 million viewers. So not a good trend. And in the show notes, and we always have these posted on the Facebook group. You can see them there. But you can see that the season is trending lower, and it is trending at a point below all other seasons right now. So it's not too good. All right. So, Mark, this is probably something you can talk about a little bit more, but there's been kind of a hint. I don't know where it's coming from exactly, but there's been a hint that there's going to be, I think it might have actually came from Angela Kang, a new character on season 10 of The Walking Dead, and it's from the comics.
Yes.
Can you tell us more?
Well, basically, they're looking to introduce... We had an idea last season that Alden would be something of a love interest for Maggie. But obviously, we don't have Maggie, and that Alden wound up actually turning into a love interest for somebody who's no longer with us. That would be Caitlin Nacon's character. And she's gone. So they're introducing the actual true love interest from the comic into the show. And I'm not giving any names. So if you really want to, you know, investigate this yourself, listeners, you got to go read the comic. But regardless, this character's coming in, and I don't think it's going to be a love interest for Maggie, but it's a prime character. And if they alter the character in some way for the show, it'd be interesting to see, because he was very much for Maggie at the time. In this case, if they do bring him in and Maggie's not there, then this will be an interesting twist. So the show's gone off the rails. It's gone far away from the original comic book series. So I like the idea. And that's all you get.
All right. So there is some news about the new third Walking Dead series, and we don't know specifics about it, but supposedly it's going to be some young characters. I don't know if they're teens or whatever, which makes me so wanting to see that.
We've already had enough of kids this season.
Yeah, all we need is a bunch of Henrys and
Charlie's
Lydia's. Yeah. So the three actors that have been announced are Alexa, and sorry if you have that Amazon device, but that's her name, which is funny. We also have one of those on this show. And to that, I think there should be laws that ban the use of, like, Alexa and Hey Google and Siri for first names.
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Oh my God. I didn't even try to do that. Yes, that was my Google Home that decided to react to me. So, since we've heard that my Google Home might be able to tell us something, I'm going to say this. Hey, Google, tell me about Alexa Mansoor.
Sorry, I don't have general information about Alexa Mansoor, but I might know some specifics if you ask.
Okay, well, I guess that failed. But so she is one of the cast. I'm just going to quickly look her up. And she is known for a few roles. She was in something called She's in Portland, which is not out yet. It's supposed to come out next season. She's been in Madam Secretary, SEAL Team for a couple of episodes, something called Unfriended Dark Web. And, and a couple episodes of The Resident. So this looks like her first
major
show. So let's go to the next person here. Nicholas Cantu. Also somebody I'd never heard of before.
But he can, too.
Oh, jeez. Actually, ironically, from Austin, Texas, it says. And so let's see. Was in a TV series called The Amazing World of Gumball. Don't know what that is, but was a series regular on that for like 39 episodes, it shows. And also was listed for a TV series called The Unicorn, but just in the pilot. I guess it hasn't been announced yet. I don't know. So, or hasn't been released yet. Also, so he's done some TV work. Looks like he was also in a series called Sophia the First as Prince James, although it looks like it might have been an animated series. And also for another series for voice work again for something called Future Worm. So that's that person. And then the last one is Hal Compston. And Hal Compston, there's a few different images for this guy. He looks way different in each one that he's in. But supposedly I read a little bit about that he is like kind of a big guy. And so like bigger than his age or something. But he is, let's see, he's been in a few things. He was in something called Bilched, and which looks like it was a movie written or directed by, somebody, fellow Australian. So maybe Alicia Debnam Carey knows him. But he is, yeah, so he actually wrote the movie Bilched. So he's an actor and writer of it. And he's been a producer, actually, as well. So not a lot of credits for this guy, but certainly I imagine that he got it, from that Bilched, because he was a writer and an actor in it. So, so anyway, Alexa Mansour, Nicholas Cantu, and Hal Compston. What do you think, if anything, about these casts for this new show? All right, so that's it for this episode. Of course, for this mid-season finale, we are going to have some information from both, the mid-season finale, but also Comic-Con will be on Friday, the 19th. So we will also, of course, have some news from that. And I don't know if there's going to be a trailer for Fear the Walking Dead, considering it's the, a couple of days before the mid-season finale, but I'm sure there'll be some news. And of course, we're going to see a trailer from Walking Dead season 10. So we'll have that next week. So Mark, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
Well, we would like to encourage everybody to follow us up on Twitter at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which would be www.facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again, so you can send text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget or call 304-837-2278. Deadline for next week is set for our regular day and time, which would be 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, July 23rd.
And we should alert you guys, and we can't really go into details right now, but some of this information may be changing very soon, probably over the hiatus. And we will alert you guys just to let you know, but there are changes afoot with us. We've been working on some things, so can't really get into details yet because there's some very important things that are kind of in flux right now. But hopefully we will have an announcement to tell you next week. So, but just want to especially mention it for those of you that may be listening to us, you know, in like an archived episode, not, you know, a few episodes behind. Just keep in mind some of these things may be changing. So, all right. So the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in your podcast client of choice. If you go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple, you'll find all of the podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network. While you're there, you can give us a rating or review, if assuming you use Apple Podcasts. But in whatever podcast client, if it gives you the chance to give you a review, like, for example, Stitcher does, and I know there's a few others, Podcast Republic does, please give us a nice 5-star review. Other ways to support the network of Golden Spiral Media can be found at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And want to mention that, you know, some things are afoot. One of the things that is afoot is, I think I can mention, is that Ruthie and I are doing a Picard podcast, and this will be on a different feed. So we will mention this in the Facebook group and mention it on the Star Trek Discovery podcast that's coming soon. But you'll be able to find out more on the wonderful domain that I have for the Star Trek Picard podcast at StarTrekPicard.com. That's right. I got StarTrekPicard.com. It's mine. So the podcast will be able to be found there, and we'll have more information about it coming soon. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, we released our season 2 roundtable. So when we do talk about Picard, we'll probably do a double posting on both the new podcast feed and the Star Trek Discovery podcast, but we'll have our information about how to subscribe to us then. Mark, what about you? What do you have?
We're still continuing on with our Jessica Jones review for season 3 with Panels to Pixels. So we're going to be doing that. We're probably going to take a little bit of a break before we finalize that season with the last 3 episodes and do a Spider-Man Far From Home review. So for those of you that love all that comic book stuff, come check us out and leave some feedback. That'd be awesome.
All right. So our next episode is going to be covering season 5, episode 8, which is titled, Is Anybody Out There? Surprising, we haven't had that before. The description, which I've actually found by going to Google and searching for it, so I imagine it's somewhere, I don't know where, but the description is, up against the clock, Morgan, Grace, and Alicia work to buy time. Dory and Dwight race against the elements. Sarah and Wendell get help from an unexpected source. Now the question is going to be, is it Daniel? Is it Daniel? Is it what's his name? Logan? Yes. Or is it maybe both of them? Who knows? All right, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.